Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
What an episode.
Very good one.
Oh my God.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. My name is Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I'm Danny Green.
Yeah, that's there right. He is hesitant. Okay, what are you this season? I forget. You're not on
demanding?
Leash.
Turnt.
Turnt.
Oh, yeah. Turnt.
I'm not even sure what it means, but
I love that.
Well, we'll tell you at the end of the year.
I love that. Oh, wow. So, yeah, we definitely have a good one this week.
I don't think it's a good one. I think it's the greatest episode ever.
You said that. That's incredible that you feel that way.
Oh, I think from top to bottom.
Still got it, huh? After 40 years of marriage, you know, you both know you don't look as good as you used to. You turn and you're like, you know what? They still got it going on.
This is so turnt of you to even say that it's the greatest Impractical Jokers episode of all time.
Yeah. I think first three episodes have been great. It's like bringing it all back home, Highway 61 Revisited, blonde on blonde of their careers.
Wow. Okay. So you just dropped three Bob Dylan albums were those three in a row?
Yes.
Interesting, because I just saw something online about what band has a better three albums in a row.
Right.
Then the one that they listed was Radiohead, which had like The Bends, OK Computer, and Kid A.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Right?
Great albums.
Well, what's interesting about that is I honestly feel like last week's episode was one of my favorite episodes of all time. So this puts a lot of pressure on next week's.
I know. What if it just sucks?
We could be in the greatest three episode run of Impractical Jokers ever in its history.
Right.
I know. Well, I would like to think that they're the Beatles, because there's four of them, but also, and they've had like over the course of time, and I guess like, what is this, season eight?
Right.
So that means that's like, this is, I guess they're making at this point, Abbey Road?
Or well, we don't know. I mean, this could be help. There could be many more years of great Impractical
Jokers. Chronologically.
Oh. I mean, guys, we're bigger than the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
100%. The Jokers. I mean, we've been together longer.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we can say.
I don't think
they're funnier.
The Beatles never played Madison Square Garden.
They didn't? They played Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that doesn't even exist anymore. We can't even do that. It's unfair.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this episode was fantastic, and it started with a great bit, Bad Reception. I think this is the fifth time we've shot this bit, where the guys play receptionists.
Was it fifth or fourth? We should know these things, and that's why people tune in. James has gotten up. He left at, that's the door closing. We're at North South Productions, so if you hear doors opening or closing, that is the reason why. James is on the hunt to find out. Here he comes back, folks.
With the news.
And we got our answer. What is it?
It is the fifth time we shot Bad Reception.
Wow. That's insane.
Because it's such a good bit. The guys love it. It's just one-on-one with the mark. Well, usually, sometimes we've sent in more marks.
Yeah.
But still, it's a very quiet location. Anytime, the guys always say this, anytime they can get one-on-one with the mark, they love the bit. Like, if you remember, Psychoanalysis, where they're one-on-one, and, like, Joe ends up wearing... is it Joe that wears that like crazy like Swami hat, or is it Sal? I forget. They all blend together.
I think Joe.
Yeah.
Actually Sal. Oh,
but it's like anytime they can just get a mark one-on-one, they love doing bits like that.
Yeah, basically one-on-one is just the stakes go higher. You'd think like with more people it's more embarrassing, but no, there's an intimate setting like a job interview.
Yeah.
One-on-one. Is like the perfect kind of situation.
Yeah, and also honestly, filming the show now, because the guys are more recognizable than ever, it's very helpful. If a mark shows up and recognizes them, we can kick them out of the room and get another mark.
Yeah.
So yeah, that works out pretty well for us too.
Yeah, and there's no one else like gonna come in and be like, I know you guys, let's take a picture.
Yeah.
Can I get a selfie? We had a lot of stuff planned for Murr's turn, but what happened was so organic,
when
they knock over the pens.
Yeah,
I was there. I was standing next to the guys as all that was happening. And Sal at one point said, I don't even know how you cut this bit down. If you just watch that entire thing happen in the string out, which is that whole situation probably took about 15 minutes. And it gets cut down to a minute 30, 2 minutes?
Yeah, there's another version of this show that is just the long cuts. And I wish we could air it. True TV, give us unlimited time to just film this show and air it. Because, it's so good. And then So who that is Dolores' daughter. I don't know the Mark's name, but her mom's name is Dolores.
Right.
As she is her emergency contact. And I think she's my Mark of the episode.
Yes.
There's some other really good Marks in here, but she's mine. She's so patient. That whole interaction about the emergency contact and Murr actually calls her mom.
Hi, Dolores. My name is James Murray with Consumer Reports. I have your friend here. Her name is Suzanne. She's doing a focus group today. I just want to confirm that you are the emergency contact.
Why are you calling my mother?
Was it not your emergency contact?
Can you hang up?
It was like a who's on first.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. And then I love, he pushes her to the point of breaking and she handles it with aplomb and just says,
can we just be quiet until they call me in?
That's like the nicest way you can put to a complete psychopath in James Murray.
Yeah, you couldn't script a better response on this show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Every once in a while you see the guys just have a performance that's so much better. They just take a big step forward. And I thought, like last year was when Brian was at the dentist's office and pretended he had the gas mask on, pretending he was doing the nitrous, and he just really let the fur fly.
Right.
And for this one, I thought Murr was just right on. It was his best performance ever, I thought.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. It was, when we were filming that, it was like real magic. You felt it. Everyone in the entire room felt, because it had that perfect balance of tension and release.
Yeah.
And it was funny. She was upset, but not that mad. There was the callback of knocking the pens off again. And that stare down.
Fantastic.
And I'm not even sure that Murr's turn was my favorite. I mean, they were all so good.
So you go right in. Then you have Q coming up next. And he's getting hit on by every staff member we have.
Yeah, who did we have?
So we had Steph.
Uh-huh. Steph Bon Jovi.
Brian.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, I'm not going to need those copies for tomorrow.
Oh, good. I didn't make them yet, so that's good.
But you looked adorable when you were talking in the meeting this morning.
We had Carson.
Carson. Smith.
Yes.
Hey, Carson, Brian. How are you?
Just so you know, we're going to start 1 hour later tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, great. Thank you.
You're so cute when you smile.
We had Nicole.
Nicole Salamack.
I just want to double check you got the emails.
I got them. Thank you.
You smelled really good on the elevator today.
And we had Daniel Cast.
Yo, Brian, how's that dick?
Dan Cast, who's, I think, he's going to break out crew star of this season.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Most valuable crew member.
I think you'll see
season
him.
Long.
As long as his bits don't get cut out. But you know what's funny is there was actually, before Dan had said that line, which was like,
how's your dick?
Yeah. Before he said that, actually, Shay was sent to say it first.
Yeah.
And I think for whatever reason, for timing or whatever, and I think maybe they were like, you know, they've used Shay a lot, that they were like, let's take the Shay turn out and just put it in make Dan say it, and it'll still work. But I think for time, Shay had to get cut, which I'm sure she's a little bummed about, but she's already a star.
It was a fun twist. I love the Mark being like, dude, what's your secret? Like, he just couldn't believe.
He was great, too. So he's a contender for me as well, because he was a really great Mark.
All these Marks are great, because then you go into Sal's turn and you have James. James.
This is another one of, all right, so Sal's, like, in terms of, like, when we're talking about Murr's, like, turn.
Yeah.
And you're turned. But no, Sal's turn in this, but then also Sal's turn in the computer one from for episode or two ago.
Last episode, which was Last another episode. Great episode.
That was, Sal's turn in that might be my favorite turn of Sal in a very long time. I don't think you will ever beat when Sal has to ask that guy if he could kiss his abs.
Can I kiss your abs? For 1 second, can I kiss your abs?
That to me is the greatest Sal turn in history. Well, and we'll talk more, because we're talking a lot now about like in history, like of the show.
We're talking about like their Hall of Fame stats.
But him with this and James, and he's been wearing this jacket, which he doesn't want to call out at all. But he's been wearing this oversized jacket, which is his new thing.
I think that's where we can call it out.
I think we're allowed to talk
about
that.
Someone has to. It's episode 3. If you haven't realized it yet, keep an eye out for it.
Yeah, so he's got this oversized jacket. Keep a look. Because the thing he used to do is he still does it. He leaves the tags on things. Right. So that's like his other little trademark. But he doesn't want to call these things out. But just, you'll watch
and see
a bunch of focus groups and things where he has his oversized jacket. And it's just a little thing that Sal likes to do.
Yeah, Sally Bad Boy also got us in trouble, by the way, for hammering those walnuts on the desk.
Really?
It wasn't good for the desk, believe it or not. And we got into a little bit of trouble with the location. Because, sometimes, you know, you do something funny, but then there's consequences.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the same reason why we may never do the two-way mirror bit again, is because at the end of the fourth time we did it,
yes,
the crew had a little party and we were just drinking beers like while they were cleaning up.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I should be on the record saying it, but you guys get the exclusive. And the location was like, hey, you left a bunch of beer bottles and it was a mess and you can never come back here.
Oh,
yeah.
And so we apologized. I think like our great locations people like mended it, but I don't think we could go back in. Well,
maybe if you own an office that has a two-way mirror, you can just send us a note on Joker's hashtag Joker's podcast.
Please do.
Like private eyes out there. Who else uses a two-way mirror? Just the cops in general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great. But the thing is, when we came up with that idea, we didn't even think that the technology would exist that could go on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we have no idea how that works.
Yeah.
And then also Joe.
Yeah.
What a turn by him.
I felt that he in his head, he was like, I'm competing against my last turn, which was the one where he's eating a sandwich out of the garbage.
There was even a little bit of a callback to that when he starts eating loudly this time and last time. He's doing yum, yum, yum.
Right.
It's kind of like when he's out with the sandwich.
The whole VR thing, too, is just like physical and big. This is where Joe shines.
Which, to be honest, Case, I think was two times ago. I think we did it one time in between them.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
The classic joke of chunks in accounting. when you're going to blow chunks.
There's a 99% chance I blow chunks in the next five.
Who's chunks?
Who's chunks?
Chunks in accounting.
Who's chunks? Chunks in accounting.
That is a good one. Blood chunks.
That's a good one for you kids out there. And then VR Joe was one of my favorite things. Just Joe walking around a haunted house, getting low.
Yeah.
Getting to just do some more Gatto physical comedy, which I'm always a fan of. Mm-hmm. But then I really love the mundane emergency room check-in as a VR guy.
I mean, that's what was so great, is that he did the VR with the zombies, and you thought, that's enough for one turn. But then he takes the VR thing to a whole new level about going to the hospital and waiting in line and filling out the forms, and it's just fantastic.
Hi, my name's Joe. I ate some mom. I just have a seat and fill out these forms.
Joe is good at taking the mundane and making it funny. Like, he finds the specificity and things like that. And I love when he does that.
It's fantastic.
You know, it's interesting. I'm just realizing it's so much easier to do a podcast without a mime. I have to say, that we released that mime just like this recently, as of when we're recording this.
Right.
The mime episode was the last one. And we got some feedback.
Yeah, we got some positive and a little negative feedback.
As if it's on the internet.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Only a little negative feedback on the internet? That's rare.
Well, let me read a couple of the comments. Some are specific to Pierre and some are about the podcast in general. First, I want to thank Rachel Rodriguez, who said, thanks for all these extras.
Nice.
Because we released, not only was the podcast with Pierre on wherever you listen to the podcast, but we also made a 10-minute video version. You can see
and some people wanted more visual versions. I mean, it needed to be visual because I was saying like afterward, I was like, who are just listening to it might think it's crazy.
Yeah.
Justin Charles, Pierre was the coolest guy in the room. Just ditch the other guys and give Pierre the podcast. It'd be far more interesting to listen to.
Yeah. Interesting feedback that he wants a silent performer to be doing a podcast. Love it. That's really clever.
Maybe three mimes.
Yeah. Seems like he's knowledgeable. Spends time just commenting.
All right. I don't know if you're going to want to hear this, Casey, but
hit me with it.
This is Jamie Jason Peed, P-E-E-D.
Great. Glad I'm spelling it.
Casey is so annoying. The show just gets too cheesy with extra people and bonus scenes.
Yep.
Just want the guys in normal episodes.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay.
I'm not too worried about that one. That was actually pretty delightful in terms of internet response.
Yeah.
Well, Cody Allen Real says about our podcast, I see no Impractical Jokers. What is the appeal again? Man. What do you guys think? Is that fair?
That's fair, totally. I guess, if you want to see them.
The guys are busy.
It's an optional podcast. It is not mandatory to listen to
that's true.
The show. I mean,
yeah, it's funny. Yeah. Some people go out of their way to not like this podcast. Yeah. You have to kind of go out of your way to listen to it and hate it and keep listening.
But then Dwayne Russell makes a really supportive comment. He says, for those who are asking why do a podcast without the guise of Impractical Jokers, here's some pointers. These are the guys that create and work behind the scenes of the show. meaning us three. They make the show run smoothly so that the Jokers can do their bits. That means, if we look at it logically, the Jokers are riding on their coattails and not the other way around.
Oh, that's nice and not true, but it's very sweet.
A lot of people are interested in how the show is created and all the voices and talent behind the scenes, as well as the Jokers themselves. If you don't like it, buzz off.
Wow, that sounds like Danny Green wrote it.
No, that's Dwayne A. Russell.
Yeah, all right. That sounds like another alter ego.
That's your pen name.
Yeah. killed that man and took over his YouTube account. I think that's how you have to do it if you want an anonymous account on YouTube.
Probably.
So we want to just thank all the people who supported us. If you don't like the podcast, as James said, it's not mandatory. And we'd love to have more of the Jokers here more often, but they're busy doing this.
I like the idea of that there is somebody listening now that you finally said that it's not mandatory. And they were like, oh, thank goodness. And they turned it off.
I hope we don't lose our audience.
But yeah, but honestly, you know, thank people who are, you know, it's funny because it's often the people who don't like something that will write something about it.
Right.
So when you get nice people who will take the time and be like, oh, I like this, that is the sweetest thing in the world. That's so nice. So I appreciate that. But I also understand that you don't have to tell us that you're happy about doing it. It's very nice to, but don't feel the need to. But thank you.
Yes.
And we love you all.
That's
great.
And if you have a comment, put it on hashtag Jokers Podcast.
We feel it. I run into people all the time who are like, this is great. I'm glad you guys are doing extra stuff, showing us the behind the scenes. You know, what's funny is we never even addressed it. We're not doing, there's no more Impractical Insider.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a lot of people were asking about that.
Yeah.
So give us the scoop, Gacy.
No, it's really like I was always kind of surprised we were doing it because, you know, obviously the network wanted to cut out challenges. No, I'm kidding. They cut out commercials and they needed some time. And so the guys thought it'd be logical to throw me in and do some behind the scenes. And they also were worried about the math of the episode.
Right.
So if they show things and then it gets cut out for when it re-airs, it could affect like the outcome of who wins and loses. But I think they just now film so much of when we're filming that there's plenty of good content. So it's cheaper, right? Like
right.
It just makes more sense to just show more. And also, I agree. People tune in to see the guys. It's like, well, yeah. I get it.
And I think we do less like cutting room floor specials and all that. So
yeah,
we're just putting more stuff into the episode. I think like a few things like changed around in like the greater rubric of the show. And so, yeah, I mean, it's funny when we get cuts to watch, there's like a little thing in the bottom right-hand corner that says LCI. And what does LCI stand for, Casey? Do you know?
Long cut included.
Yeah, nope. I'm not sure either.
Nope.
What's the stand
what
for?
What is it?
Less commercial interruption.
Really?
Something like that.
Okay.
Maybe lower commercial interruption.
And it's funny because like every now and then there'll be a bit that says LCI on it. And I'm like, oh, that's going to get cut in reruns. I'm like, dang.
Oh, yeah. It pops up during the thing. Yeah.
Like, for example, I think part of the thing that was in the LCI was where Q is talking about when he asked his Mark, what's a good slur for a white guy?
Do you know, by any chance, since I could tell you're cool, do you know any good, funny slurs for white people that I can call my friend?
Call him a gringo.
Gringo?
But that's basically like someone Spanish calling him.
Yeah, I don't want to culturally appropriate gringo.
A slur?
I don't want to culturally appropriate
a slur.
Wonder Bread.
There.
I like that, right? Wonder Bread? That's a good one. Wonder Bread.
That's in the LCI. So some of that will be cut in reruns.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go through the whole episode and tell you what's going to be cut, but
yeah. But I will say that we're still doing the inside jokes. And so we've been filming that now for exciting. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we're filming inside joke stuff for seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's really great. And we've been having a lot of fun. Like I've been going to the mall and it's funny, like we go to Palisades to film for inside jokes and I do these little games with fans.
Right.
And we don't even advertise it. And I thought of this the other day. It's crazy that we get people who know so much about the show because we're not even tapping super fans to come out. We're tapping people who just say that they've watched the show, but people know so much of, they know so many of the answers. That's literally like having a game show about like the Beatles in a mall. People will just know it because it's zeitgeist stuff that like kind of everyone knows.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's about a specific television show and there's a real, and it's really fun. And sometimes the questions are easier than others, but I'm really always surprised. And we've never had people come in and it's just the people who are there and people come up to us and go, oh, you know, like I always hope that I'd run into like either you guys or the Jokers because I see that you're always filming here. So it's like, And maybe we're putting Palisades on the map.
It is funny. We kind of film in the mall a little bit less because it does create like a Coliseum type vibe where the Jokers are interacting with the Mark. And then around the upper levels of the mall are all these people looking down at them filming.
Yeah.
And so it kind of ruins a hidden camera show when people are like, why are 1,000 people staring at us right now?
But then we're also getting a lot more facts about season 1 and 2, which is fun. So the pop-ups are going to be there too.
Oh, that's going to be great.
But let's jump back into this episode.
But before we do, Casey.
Okay, never mind.
I just want to, because you're crying now and about all the negative comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to feel okay. I want you to leave here today feeling okay. And I want to read something that's really sweet that a Mark Barlow wrote. Casey does a lot more behind the scenes than you would think. Just because he isn't one of the four friends from high school doesn't mean he shouldn't be thought of as the fifth Joker. Keep it real, Casey. Top guy with 3 exclamation points.
Wow.
Top guy.
Top guy. My new nickname.
New AOL screen name. Top guy.
Oh, yeah.
42.
Yeah. That's cool. No one's ever considered me a top.
All right. Well, let's get to the bottom of this next challenge here. Don't go in there.
Yeah.
I love this one. So, I mean, I'm going to zoom past Murr and the Baby Bjorn. He played it very well. Congratulations, James Murray. You didn't get a thumbs down. Well done to you. But we're back on Sal over here complaining about his gameplay, changing the rules of the bit. So you remember in the first episode this year where Sal's like, oh, this isn't going to work, talking about like the smashed milk and everything else.
Right.
What person in their right mind is going to take a gallon of milk and throw it onto the floor because
You've been saying this all day, bud. Somebody will smash milk.
Let the audience look behind the curtain. This came across the desk and I said, I don't think it's going to work. And we're going to be in the supermarket all day.
You don't have a desk.
Where were you sitting?
Whose desk were you at?
Now, he doesn't technically play the game, right? Like, in this clip right here.
But you're already going to wait just based on the merits of my performance of Don't Go In There. I don't even have to deliver the reason. Thank you so much.
So you didn't play the game. Nothing.
You actually lost.
Don't you dare take that away from me.
Yeah. The rules of the game are you have to say the line.
Reason.
He recoiled after my introductory line.
You did not say the line we told you to.
I actually see it different than you. I thought I was so convincing.
I'm not even listening.
In being like, I wouldn't go in there.
The rules are you have to say the line.
Basically, the other Jokers, and I think rightfully so, say that Sal didn't complete his turn. It wasn't in the spirit of the game. He just found a guy that was willing to walk away off of nothing.
I love how mad Q is, but he also plays it not mad, but he plays it mad. Like, it's this funny balance of he's having fun making fun of Sal, but I can tell he's, like, frustrated with Sal.
Rewrite the rules.
How is that rewriting the rules? I defer to anybody in here.
You're supposed to say what you have to say.
I'm so surprised.
Now it's a new game.
I thought that I delivered the line with such...
You didn't deliver the line, though.
Such honesty.
You didn't deliver the line.
I was a raw... I was like, I wouldn't even go in there.
It's great. It's friendship. I mean, like...
It is. Oh, that's real. That's like a real, like... That's a real argument.
That's the realest I think Q's ever gotten with Sal on the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're friends like that. And, like, you know, obviously, like, they've been doing this and they were doing What Say You podcast. And, like, you get these little snippets of them. But that's some real, like, I've been out with Sal and Q and Sal does something and takes time. And Q, like, is like, I want to leave. And you see that Q and you got to see that Q come out.
Yeah.
It was great. It was really fun. And then, every turn was just so unique.
I mean, then, Sal does that. Then it goes to Q immediately, just like that over-the-shoulder shot, first of all, of Q behind Sal when they're both talking to camera is fantastic.
Yep.
It just captures it perfectly. But then Q throws trash out of the bathroom. The game just evolves from there. Gatto's coming out naked in an apron.
Yeah. I was nervous about Gatto's turn. I was like, that guy might go in still. And then Gatto really he put the foot down. But the other thing I want to say about Q's turn is he's a great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him in little acting things. He's really good.
He's done a bunch of like different TV shows and movies now.
And I think that's a really great scene to carry out. Part of it was he was fuming probably from the interaction, but he channeled that. That's what you're supposed to do as an actor.
He did it. You know, he did a great job.
tell me if I'm wrong, but so, all right, a little background. Sometimes when we do a challenge, the four guys will go out. Let's say it's like Murr, and then it's Joe, then it's Sal and Q. But we'll switch it around sometimes in the edit based on a number of reasons.
Correct.
Just the flow of it. Right. But then sometimes you get challenges where you have to go in order. And yes. I think that this was that.
Yeah. And so just in general, Murray, not always, but almost always goes first. Murr likes to go first.
Right.
So it's very common for him to do that.
He'll go, I'll go first.
Yeah. And then Gatto usually goes last.
Mm.
And then it's kind of a toss-up of where where Sal and Q go.
Like when we're filming that day.
Right.
Another one that was chronological or we had to or were locked into was the pants pulling down one with the wrestlers.
Right.
Because they were like, the guys were like, we don't want to just use them for this. We want to bring them into BTS.
Right.
And there was almost like a party happening. So they were just like, well, we're just going to lock in the order like that. Who cares about the edit? And I like that. I like when the energy's like that.
Yeah, it's very cool when the bit has a little bit of a narrative too, like this one did. Like
yeah.
You get to see it play out that way, and you have like those onset arguments.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sometimes things play out, not necessarily in order, but like when they made the bet in Texas, obviously Q made his bet before that final turn.
Right.
Yeah. So like there's like a few times, but it's always fun when you watch like a little BTS banter then like seep out into the rest of the bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Also, sometimes when we're filming cab bits and the sun goes down, we're not going to put that turn first.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely like, I'd say 75% of the time Gatto goes last and 75% of the time Murray goes first.
It's amazing. I think we've talked about it before, but Case of the Gattos is like a thing that is said.
Uh-huh.
And it's so... Joe would be out there and then for some reason, like the supermarket or the mall, wherever we are, will just kind of get dead. Like there's nobody going through anymore. So Joe can't do his thing. And it happens so much with Joe in the early seasons that even if Q's on the floor, he'll be like, I got a case of the Gattos.
But also the reason why Joe goes last is because he knows he can turn it on and pull out some of that Gatto physical comedy, just like he does here, coming out naked with an apron. Is he naked? He has boxers on, I think.
I would
like boxer briefs.
I think Gatto's a classic naked guy.
Yeah, no underwear.
I'm forgetting now from the bit, but in general, like he'll do it.
He'll do it to get a laugh.
He'll go commando.
Yeah, I mean, Sal couldn't even believe that his feet were barefoot on that floor.
Mm.
That was something Sal wouldn't do.
You know what? I'm kind of a germ guy too, but feet to me is different. I feel like
so calloused.
Yeah, I feel like they're so calloused and stuff. I will say this: in the last couple of minutes that we were talking, Danny Green left the room. As silently as possible, and now he's back. So I'm assuming it was a pee-pee, am I right?
Yeah, all the conversation about the guys in the men's room made me have to go to the bathroom.
It did. So yes. You got up and you went pee-pee and you came back.
Yeah, I urinated.
Pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't defecate, just so you know.
No, I know that because of the time. Gatto is another person who could poop pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true.
There have been times that he's left, pooped, and come back, and I'm like, I... can't even believe that happened.
Yeah, you don't believe they washed their hands.
I'm like, you didn't even wipe. You definitely.
Yeah.
I did wash my hands, but they were out of paper towels, so my hands are a little moist right now.
Okay. That's great to know that the fans can now know that.
So and whoever the company is that provides paper towels in the north-south bathroom, you need to up your game a little bit. And just because it's 6:30 doesn't mean you guys should be out of paper towels.
Danny, I would love to continue with this exit interview of the bathroom. But why don't we jump to another interview that we did on the Impractical Jokers cruise?
Oh, great idea.
That's right. Let's jump in right now.
This is very exciting. We're out in a lounge in Vegas. And
it's incredible.
We're so lucky to have Liza Minnelli.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Liza, thank you so much for stopping by and doing this.
Thanks so much.
I had no idea you were a fan of Impractical Jokers.
Well, I was a joker when I was a kid. I loved playing jokes. I remember one morning, I was ice skating, and my father said, Vincent Minnelli, MGM director, is really smart. I was ice skating. I said, Daddy, look at this ice. And he said, it looks kind of mushy. I said, that's because it's my sister, Lorna.
Oh, wow.
So I love...
That's a great joke.
Yes.
That's a good joke, Liza.
Oh, so much fun.
That reminds me. We always try to tie things back to the guys. Do you remember that? But the guys went ice skating, and they clip balloons to the back of people. Do you think you would be good at clipping balloons to people secretly so that they wouldn't notice that you're clipping balloons to them?
Well, when I had my hysterectomy...
Yes.
I remember I asked my doctor, I said, can I keep it? And he said, sure. And then I was at a birthday party, and they said, we don't have a balloon. I said, I'll be right back. And so he used my uterus as a balloon. It was a lot of fun.
Liza, I'm going to stop you there. We don't get that dark normally on the podcast.
Billy Stretch
had the best time of his life.
Billy Stretch?
That's my piano player.
Oh,
I've had some dark times. But that was all when I was having a lot of fun. I was at Studio 54. I was a wet nurse.
Oh, wow. You don't hear a lot about that. Wet nurses at Studio 54, right. But I guess a lot of celebrities would go there with their children. They're gonna
party.
Well,
we were all so high. I mean, no one was going on. I thought I was doing coke. It turned out to be Gene Kelly's anal glands. I mean, it was a night.
Hollywood legend.
This perspective Gene is, you never really get this. And
no,
that's what's great.
That is
so again, with tying it into Impractical Jokers, do you have a favorite?
Well, I love Judy.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Wow.
She was featured on one episode in the background. She was an extra. And she was wearing a yellow shirt. And I know method acting. And she was a really good method actor. I'll never forget her. She had a lot of pizzazz. She had strength, pizzazz, and also pizzazz.
That's the top three qualities that you'd ever want in someone. Strength, pizzazz, and pizzazz.
So, Liza, this is a question we always ask our guests when we can. The guys get punished at the end of every episode. Mm-hmm. You know, some punishments they had to read from do a book reading and there's no words in the book.
I was punished by Sal last night.
Oh, is that true? Oh,
Sal Vulcano?
Don't want to get too much detail, but we had to change the sheets a couple times.
Wow. So do you do that yourselves? So, that must have been a nice romantic moment.
I normally have a nurse change my diapers. So in this case, things got bad.
This is less sexy than I thought. I thought we were going to have like a let's get sexy.
But he liked it.
Oh, he did?
He asked for it.
Wow.
That's incredible. I don't put it past him. I would do the same.
Are there any secrets about Sal that fans might not know that you could tell us about now?
I don't know. He's an open book. Which is what attracted me to him in the first place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the kind of stuff the fans don't normally get to hear. We always get asked, is Sal single?
Yeah.
And stuff. And I guess now we can say he's taken, at least for one night.
I'm an Italian girl. And so,
yeah.
My father's Italian.
Okay.
It's Minnelli. It's Liza with a Z, not Lisa with an S. Because Lisa with an S goes, it's not Z.
Well, yes.
I actually never really thought about that. Wow.
Well, everyone always says to me, Lisa Minnelli, and it's Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
It's a song I had.
How would you compare Impractical Jokers fans to Liza Minnelli fans?
Mm. It's the biggest difference is no homosexuals on this boat. I'm not one gay.
Wow.
Not one.
There has to be one.
Well, there's a lesbian, but she's running the boat. So I'm alone.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought, like, Joker's fans, I mean, at least in my experience, I've always found we've had gay, straight, any
diverse
race,
very diverse.
Someone asked me if I was Carol Channing.
Yeah,
there's no gays on this boat.
All right.
That's fair. I mean,
I believe women. I listen to women. I'm sorry for trying to say that you're wrong here. I apologize, Liza. I want to get that. I need to get in front of that.
Yeah, definitely. That's great. I'm stumped. I usually have a lot of questions, but I really.
Well, I guess I would have. Do you have any favorite comedians that you've seen recently that you like?
I'll tell you, a recent comedian I saw that I really love. Is Whoopi Goldberg.
She's comic relief, yeah.
The View,
yeah.
Eddie.
Incredible.
Ghost, not her biggest comedic role, but I think
Someone
of her recent work.
Sister Act.
An up-and-comer, yeah.
I love Sister Act, too.
You do? Oh, you like the second one?
Well, they saved the school.
That is...
And I was so worried about Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, another great
save the school. At the end, they did. It's the whole theater.
Yeah, cool that Lauryn Hill played herself in that as well.
Yes,
I love that.
That is incredible. The movie did come out, I want to say, 25 years ago at this point.
Well, I'm in my early hundreds.
Okay. You don't look it, Liza.
Oh, thank you so much. Wow. I had my knee replaced.
Yeah, I gotta. Yeah, I will say this, though. You definitely don't look it, but you really sound it.
Well, I remember when I was upside down in a hospital while I was recording an album. I was making a clothing line.
Yeah.
And I was trying to, and I thought, I hate this. So I started to work with clay, and then I started molding it on my own. Then I started thinking about clothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, we were on the boat. We saw a lot of great comedians. There was one I thought you'd like in particular, this guy, Mateo Lane.
I hate that fan.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well, again, Liza, I don't know. I think that might be our first bleep for the podcast.
I don't know. This one had probably a bunch of bleeps.
You think so?
I mean,
I don't know. I think you'd like, you should check him out.
You should definitely check out Mateo Lane for sure.
He's a fantastic comedian. Liza, do you know where to find him on social media?
Probably dead in the gutter.
All right.
check out dead in the gutter. Yeah.
For Mateo Lane. That's Mateo Lane.
Lane.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Liza.
Oh, thank you so much.
And yeah, I'll help you back to your room.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Wow. And so, also, I have to apologize. I didn't update everybody last week on the total thumbs down.
It's okay.
For the season.
I forgive you.
Pierre was here. He threw me off my game. And I just forgot to do it. So let me update you right now. Total thumbs down for the season after three episodes. We've got Sal with 3, Joe with 1, Murray with 3, and Q with 1.
Wow, that's exciting.
Mm.
After 3 episodes, though, that's not a lot of thumbs down. Joe and Q only have 1 thumbs down each in 3 episodes.
A fun punishment for whoever has the most thumbs down for the season is to make them appear on this podcast.
Oh, that's a good one. We'll do it.
You have to spend an hour with us. With Turnt Danny Green.
Yeah. Locked in a room with a vanilla clown. But let's get right into this punishment. It is fantastic.
Oh, great.
This tip is shit is the name that we pitched it to the network with. And they responded with yes to the bit, no to the name. Please have him say more than just this tip is shit, which is what the guys originally wanted Sal to say to every single person.
And I got
to
say, I mean, Simi can't stand your bits, Kastanowitz, is so good at notes because I love this punishment. The guys wanted it to always be this tip of shit. Simi comes back with that note and I go, yeah, he's right. Mm-hmm. And that's often what happens with Simi. He's great.
He's fantastic.
That's what we do. In The Office, guys, this is a behind the scenes for The Office. If anybody like agrees too much with somebody who's like technically a boss, like if people agree with James McCarthy, everyone else in the room goes. So it only really works when everyone does it. So just do it. Yep, that's exactly what it sounds like, and it's very funny. So
feel free to use it in your own office.
Please, get that going. Hey, be careful. I don't know what office you have, but it could probably be sexual harassment if everyone does it.
School is safe. Anytime someone's like, you forgot to give us homework.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun bit. But this is great, and there's so many moments that I love. All these marks are so great because that you feel how that they don't want to be the person who didn't tip well.
Right.
They tapped something that, like with this punishment, it taps something that everyone feels. Everyone goes through that moment of being like, oh, am I bad at life? Am I bad at tipping? Am I like, a skell?
And especially in New York, people talk about how much they tip sometimes. Like I've been out with people, it's like, how much do you tip? 18%, 20%? Like, what do you do? People, I never go below 20% no matter what. Like they could spit my food, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm giving them 20%. Right here, like you could really tell, like again, these people are feeling it. And then some of the lines the guys are throwing out and making Sal say,
The old next time.
asking if Mark is around to talk about his tip with his assistant.
Is Mark around?
Just fantastic. Oh, man.
This is Sal at his ballsiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, this is. In some ways would work for any of the Jokers, but you really want to see Sal do it.
Yeah.
Because it's Sal's a gentleman, right. You know, he's usually not this rude, and right. to make him do that.
Well, I think part of it might have been that he was in a costume, and when you get in that costume, maybe he began, like a method actor, he began feeling like a delivery guy.
He did say that he took some acting classes after college.
When he, I mean, I know I'm jumping ahead, but when he gets in the elevator at the end, it's so fun.
Yeah, after he strips down.
He strips down. He's like literally like pulling cringe off his body and just like getting out of the character, hood up, and then the elevator opens right at that perfect moment and he's out.
I think that's what people might not quite understand about the show is the guys are, they're not faking. They're really uncomfortable in doing these things. They're as you say, Casey, they're such nice guys, and to be insulting like that is difficult. It's painful for them. They're embarrassed by it.
100%.
And when and comes, it really comes across.
Yeah, like because some people like you just do this in your life, Danny. You're just constantly being like, this tip is shit to people, or you're the other way around. You're like,
they scream.
Yeah, you're the other way around where you're like, I'm not giving you a tip. Right. You're saying that into servers' faces.
Right. That's how I operate.
Are you? What do you tip usually?
I'm a good tipper.
20%.
20%
after tax. Before tax,
probably before tax, about 18%.
You should do before tax, right?
So
do you tip on alcohol?
Yes.
I do.
Well, it depends. If I'm just at the bar and I get two drinks and mine is like some kind of cocktail with multiple ingredients that the bartender had to do some stuff for, I'm going to leave at least $2.
Uh-huh.
But if it's just like a beer from a tap, that's a dollar.
See, I used to be a better tipper because I would go out to dinner with my kids and the kids wouldn't eat much and I'd feel bad that the server still was working the full table and my kids would have something from the kids menu. So I would tip 20, sometimes 25%. Now my kids eat a lot. And so now I'm brought it down a little bit to maybe 18, 20%.
18 to 20. So
18's okay.
18's well, I'm not, I don't feel the way I work.
Okay. I don't do 20.
Waiter.
I do 18.
I was a waiter for a while. So and so is my wife.
Yeah.
So we're both like scarred from the process. So we are definitely over tippers. I'm not saying that everyone has to be, but just like for karma and stuff, we're kind of like, yeah, like we just need to do.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy, but especially in New York City, it's like,
I usually do 20. I'll do 18. I've also waitered. I also delivered food. Shout out to the Gray Dog, great place in New York City. Delivered food for them. And I've been stiffed before. It wasn't even like the food was late. It wasn't anything. It was just the guy didn't tip. And it was that situation. It was like in an office building. So the like later at night, like 8 o'clock at night, delivered to an office. So the guy must've been working late, but he just didn't tip. And I didn't say anything. I was just like, all right, the elevator, like, especially like when stuff is like seamless now and whatever, like people just take it and go. Yeah, like there's not really a conversation, which is why it's so awkward when that guy gets stuck in the vestibule with Sal at the end and he can't get keyed back into the office.
Unbelievable moment.
That was great.
That's such a great moment that like, that's why this show's great is it. We create these situations where that might happen. We didn't expect it at all. And then it does. And you're like, we didn't even plan. You can't plan for that.
And then Sal looks like he's doing a little bit of the Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm here, where he's like doing the Larry David, like stare down.
Yeah.
Trying to get the guy to make eye contact with him, like moving his head kind of back and forth. It was really great.
These moments. And then so back to what you were just saying though, like the way we produced this, I think is interesting to know.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, unless you want to just take it, because I think you know it a little bit better than me.
Oh, I mean, basically we worked with a company, and we paid for everybody's lunches.
Yeah.
And we had like the CEO send out, an email blast and be like, hey guys, lunch is on me today.
As if it's from him. Yeah.
As if it's from him or as if like the company was running a special, like they're including this like Seamless or Grubhub or someone who's running a special. The tip is just not included. So you have to tip. So free lunch, you just have to tip.
Right. So these were real people tipping and the tip wasn't always bad. It wasn't actual.
The tips are usually pretty good. I mean, that one guy tipped $5. I'd be very happy with a $5 tip.
I want to say this too. Sal does a really good job at giving the audience what they expect, like giving the home audience, like I need to be tough here. And he knows that I need to be I know what my punishment is. The guys told me I have to do that and I have to actually do it. The guys are at a point now where they're not just like skirting these punishments. They're actually doing it because that's what you're supposed to do. Right. And then as soon as it's over, they're like, oh God, I'm so glad it's done.
Mm.
You know? And I like that. I like that. It's not because he could just do it in a charming way.
Yeah.
But he knows that that's not satisfying
right.
to the other guys, and he wouldn't feel satisfied if it was switched, if he was in BTS and Murr was doing it.
Yeah, right. And they already called him out on rule breaking earlier, so you know in the punishment, they're going to make him play it the way he's got to play
exactly.
it. Exactly. Yeah, oh, that's really fun. And so, Danny, you're saying that this is the greatest episode of all time?
Yes.
I just wanted to pull up a couple episodes that I think rival it,
mm-hmm.
and one that Mr. James S. Murray thinks rivals as one of the greatest episodes of all time.
So he's not here, but he sent that in about saying what he thought his favorite episode
yeah,
was?
Yeah, in an email after he saw a cut of this punishment last year from season 7, so episode 725,
mm-hmm.
that means it's the 25th episode of season 7. This is a little industry speak for you. So 725 is
yep.
new education plan where the guys were pitching different education plans yep. of schools.
You don't want kids to get the D, right?
Right.
And then a game called Pin for the Win, where they're it was Joe and Sal pinning
yep.
clothespins on a mark, going into the Krav Maga challenge, ending with the Sal pantsing punishment.
Yeah.
Murray said that might be his favorite episode of all time.
Wow.
You know what? I'm going to agree with him because that's the one I was in.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. New education plan is Vanilla Clown.
Yeah.
That's Danny Green from TV.
So that's great.
I already bailed on 803.
I have ones that are higher than that. So that's good to know, though, that if that's like a baseline great episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will say this, that Murr also said that this episode that we're talking about today is one of his favorites as well.
Yeah, Murr does say that after every episode. So okay. Maybe it's just going to go back for enough and
No, but he did really like it. And then Sal also said that this was a really good one.
It is. The other ones I would throw out that rival it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to throw out the one with Sal's wedding speech.
This isn't a Jewish wedding, but my Jewish friend Hyman told me that in his culture, it's important for the groom to break a glass. I'm no Jew, but I have broken a lot of glasses. But tonight, I don't mean to break the Hyman.
Next page.
Tradition.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one, here's what kicks it off. It's Waiters at Carnegie Deli. That's where we first meet Joey Fatone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
Who, I mean, come on. Host of After Party. And
absolutely.
I think he did something else in his career before that. It's fantastic.
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, right.
That's
exactly.
what he did before.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
the big thing.
Oh, he was the bunny. Yeah. He was the rabbit on that Masked Singer. Yeah, well, that was right. after this, though. Yeah, I think this is what got him that gig.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, he said, I'm Joey Fatone, and I just shit myself. That's what got him the bunny.
Perfect. We'll put you on a bunny costume. They shit everywhere. Then Employee Death Debate was in that episode where
Great.
They're working at a deli counter. Is that
Jesus Batman?
I think that one's Jesus Batman.
He is trained in the martial arts. I mean, he protects an entire city. Am I right or am I right?
I agree with that, but I would also say that Jesus was able to move the masses.
Was Jesus the powerful one or was it God?
Okay, great. This is a
and
very
then
good episode.
Sal's wedding speech. So that was episode 306.
Sal's wedding speech
that aired,
is an underrated punishment.
Oh, it's a great punishment.
I think people love it and talk about it, but people talk about bingo a lot. People talk about skydiving.
That's up
wedding
to,
speech
yeah.
is really good.
Really good.
It's one of my favorites.
Dude, that came out February 6th of 2014. February 6th, 2014.
A long time ago.
I thought you were saying it like as if that's another day in history. The same day that John Travolta said,
I'll be in Hairspray. That was after Hairspray.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah. Casey, you really like the Novocaine?
Braised beef is. Braised beef is brilliant.
So Novocaine is another one of these punishments that I think is my personal favorite because it's just everyone's laughing and it's insane.
And I'll say this. So we're talking about, this is like a really good back-to-back, 802 and 803 are really, really strong back-to-back episodes.
Okay.
Well, Novocaine was part of an extremely strong back-to-back.
Oh, this is it was Jordan 92, 93?
Uh-huh. This okay. is Drake, back-to-back.
Yeah.
This is, so Novocaine was tennis.
I see great evil in you. Let's do this.
They're playing tennis instructors. Then now, which is a great game. You got to do
Sal with the water gun.
Yep. And then Novocaine punishment. The next episode, the tattoo punishment.
Whoa.
38 lives alone, has three cats.
Another epic punishment that
These
people
are
always
really
talk about.
Good all timers. That
what's out? What else is in tattoo?
Security guard IFB.
Great.
And fly me to balloon the second time. We did it.
Still good.
And then the tattoo punishment, which is an all-timer.
It's
I mean,
up there.
It's very strong. Season 3 in general is like, I have to say, a perfect season.
You did come in on season three.
I did.
So maybe.
I mean, I brought a lot of juice to that season.
That's true.
Yeah. No,
you,
but.
I mean, you did.
No, but going back and looking at everything, like three was really strong. And then I'm looking at season eight and I'm thinking like, okay, this one could be up there.
Like, so far, I mean, it's one of those things now. It's like, if we have really, I mean, they're always really good. Every season has its like own tone.
Yeah.
But I think the guys, like this episode, and I'll say this, the way that they play this bathroom challenge is season eight.
Right.
I don't think they would play it that way in earlier seasons.
100%
And I think
you.
They're breaking rules in a fun way. Like, instead of coming up with ideas that are format busters, they're like, let's do some great ideas. And whatever happens, happens.
Right.
Which I love.
The only way I can think of this and break it down is the way I think of and break down everything is in terms of Michael Jordan. So season three might be like Michael Jordan's like first MVP season, scoring like 30-something points a game.
Right.
And it's just like the raw talent of these guys is finally showcased itself and put them in the upper echelon mm-hmm. of the television stratosphere yeah. where they now belong. They're the best show on TV. Right? That's but, a practical yeah. joke because it's the best show on TV, right? We all
I
agree.
Mean, yes. It has to be.
Of course.
I mean, on the podcast about it. Yeah,
we're
not
on TV.
Yeah, we're not biased.
The documentary
we're not
now biased. Is pretty good.
it can easily be in the top 100, but Joker's is number one.
Inside Jokes, number two.
But yeah,
after party number. Yeah. Actually, that should probably be two. The guys were actually on that.
Season eight, we're like in our second three-peat run of Jordan right now.
Yeah.
Where he's still the best in the league, but he's savvier. You know? He doesn't have his athletic prowess. You know, he's a little bit older, but he knows how to use his body.
He's gambling.
He's gambling a lot.
So he's got Gatto. He needs to win.
Joe Gatto.
Let's just hope the Jokers don't play baseball for the White Sox.
Oh, my God.
Casey, all these sports references today.
I know.
That's
you're impressed, huh? It's what I'm a top guy. Now that I'm a top guy, you know, I gotta the bar's raised for me.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? I'd love to know what the fans think is their favorite episode. So please write # Joker's Podcast and tell us what's your favorite episode.
And remember, include the challenges so that you and make sure
right,
to keep
top
that
to
in
bottom.
Mind. Yeah. It's got to be from the like the entire episode and write what those are, you know, and the more you write for it, like, and the reason your reason being is great. We like to, this is what we like to do. We like to discuss these episodes.
Yeah,
even though we work on the show, we are fans of it.
We'll read them on air.
Yeah, baby.
Is this air? Podcast air?
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
So also, guys, we need to give out our mark of the episode.
Yes.
Right.
Are you with me that it's Dolores' daughter?
I'm with you 100%.
Yes, so. she was fantastic. One of the best marks of all time.
hold on a second.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take that back.
Yeah. That
she was great.
That old woman in season.
Yeah, I got a little excited. She was great, but not one of the great marks.
The old woman in episode one is still to me the mark of the season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love at first sight.
I would agree with that.
Love at first sight. But I'm willing if somebody's going to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
So Grandma Deadpool, it's still mark of the season right now.
Right.
For season eight, but Dolores' daughter. Congratulations! You're the 803 mark of the episode. Well done. But guys, who is the MVP for the Impractical Jokers crew?
Boy, I think it might. I think it has to be Nicole from our crew because she did an acting job that was worthy of Meryl Streep in pretending that she was in love and attracted to Q.
I have to agree with you, Danny.
I agree. I mean, in terms of like her flirtation abilities, like that was, you're seeing like Nicole Salamack at her best. Like that was impressive because she's a charming person and she put it on. It was really great.
Yeah. It was great. And we actually have an interview with Nicole right here. All right. We're here with our MVP for 803. It's not Sal. It's not Murr. It's not Q. It's not Joe. It is Nicole Salamack. Our production manager.
Hi, guys.
MVP. Hey,
buddy. How are you?
Nikki Slaps. Congratulations.
Thanks. I feel like this is the best award I've ever won.
Really?
No.
What is the best award you've ever won?
I don't know. I feel like like I haven't won that many.
So this could be the best award
maybe
you ever won.
Maybe it is. Yeah. I'll have to think about
Let's start. How many seasons have you been on Impractical Jokers now?
This is my third.
Third season, right? Cool. Yes. Very exciting. And so you've been MVP for a long time, but we've just started counting it.
Oh, right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you may have won in the past. You never heard about it.
We just talked about it.
Yeah, we don't really show affection like from the producer's room that often, but it's there deep down in our hearts.
For people who may not know, can you just describe your job a little bit?
Sure. So I handle more of like the scheduling and logistics side of TV. We hire the crew and just oversee everything on set, make sure things are running smoothly, work with the producers and everybody else to make sure we take the creative and execute it and make it happen.
A job you used to do is put a quote on the call sheet. Are you still doing that?
I still do that, yeah. But you don't read the call sheets? See, no one ever reads the call sheets. I'm getting a shirt made that says, read the call sheet. Check the call sheet.
Yeah, it's very funny because whenever I have to go to set, I will usually email you or text you, when do I have to be there? And you're like, it is on the call sheet. But it's not often, so I'm like, oh, it's easier to text Nicole.
Listen,
she knows everything.
When there's like four people on the crew, it's fine. But when you had 45 people texting you the same thing and it's like, hey, guys, it's right there on the call sheet.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
but I'm happy
sense.
To answer your questions all the time.
Thank you very much.
Nicole's other job is just to take care of the crew. You're very much, you're like a, you're a caring, you're like the aunt.
Production mommy.
Like, production mom. Yeah. I didn't want to say that. I feel
it's
like
okay.
You're like the cool aunt.
Just don't call me the grandma.
Someone else has been called that.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm finding, this was the quote of the day from Bad Reception.
Okay.
Pete, can I have him? Nicole to Pete about Henry.
Oh, yeah. I tried to steal his son. It didn't work out well.
He's the executive producer, Pete McParland. You tried to steal his son.
He's so cute.
And then you put it on the call sheet.
And then I did.
You don't often put your own quote, but that's great.
Well, that's not even the only quote. That's not the only quote.
Oh, there's more?
There's more to that. Then it's Nicole, just put him in your bag from Stella.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go to jail for that, buttoned by Nicole.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Stella told me to steal him.
The quotes are always somewhat like an inside sort of thing or like a conversation on set.
Yeah, they don't really make sense.
You're never like Confucius said. You never do like Abraham Lincoln. Like,
no. Mm-mm.
Yeah,
true.
They're like away messages in an old AIM profile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But MVP, you feel good?
I do. I feel great.
How'd it feel to be in the episode on the screen?
Oh,
star.
Yeah.
I mean, the bright lights.
It was interesting. I don't really like to be on camera. That's not my thing.
Mm-hmm. Like you refused every time I do an insider.
I know.
Every time. But this, you'll do anything for Q.
I'll do anything for you.
So if you saw the episode, you saw that there were several women from the crew and men that came and hit on Q. Mm-hmm. And they would come out and say something that the other guys told them to say. And your delivery was really solid, rock solid.
Thanks.
Fantastic work.
And Nicole was one of those four people. And so, Nicole, we loved your delivery and the whole attitude that you brought. We actually believed it.
I think I believed it. I when I watched it, I was like, was I really? I was like wanted Q in that moment. I felt.
Yeah, we got to see some of the process of you hitting on people.
I mean, that's like my wheelhouse, you know? You want me to, you send me into flirt? That's easy.
That's great.
Do you have an acceptance speech prepared?
No. I'd like to thank the Academy.
It's Danny Green. You're looking at the Academy right there.
Thank you, Danny Green. No. Do I need to have a speech?
Did it distract you from your actual job that day?
Yeah, because I was so nervous. And then they told me, like, I was going to say one thing. So in my head, I was like, this is what I'm going to say. And then when I got out and shut the door, Sal and Joe changed it. And I was like, wait, that's not what they told me to say. So I was like, oh, no. And then they were like, just go. So I
bet you that's better off. You have less time to overthink it.
Yeah.
And so you just have to go in there and say that line.
Mm-hmm.
Improvise a little bit.
I did a little bit, yeah.
Wow. I remember hearing you nervously like saying it because you were mic'd.
Yeah, I know, and I always forget that I'm mic'd. And then Joe started talking to me. I was like, how can he hear me? He can't see me. And I was like, oh, duh, holding a mic on a hidden camera show.
You were also you and Dan Cast were in charge of sending other people out to do that first. So was it weird? Did you send yourself?
No, Chase actually cued me when to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So.
Yeah, so it really is like stage. It's like theater, like with people being like, okay, you're on.
Yeah.
All the world's a stage.
You're right.
Is what Murray said, I believe.
But thank you so much, Nicole.
Oh, thank you, guys.
MVP.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. And we just want to give you a little tease for next week. We have a Major League Baseball player that is going to be on the podcast. Isn't that fun, guys?
It is fun. He's not in the episode next week.
No, no.
But he is on the podcast.
That's right.
So that's an exclusive.
But there's a good reason. He's a huge Jokers fan.
Big time Jokers fan. I had a great time interviewing him.
That's great. And if you have any questions, and if you please tell us your favorite episodes, hashtag Jokers Podcast. And thanks again for listening.
Keep watching. This season is stacked.